This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
At the end of today's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, they hugged it out. They hugged it out. The ranking Democrat and Senator Dianne Feinstein, she hugged the chairman, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham. And they did this because, I guess, they wanted to, number one, try to bring this country together, and number two, push back at some of the craziness going on. And I have to say, I thought it was a nice gesture.
Boo.
I mean, boo, it shows weakness. Actually, the weakness part is what got picked up on behalf of leftist crazy activists, like far to the left activists in a group called Demand Justice. They, after she hugged him, called on her to step down because she is standing in the way of the progressive agenda. So that moment of bringing the country together lasted about 14 seconds before the press release went out.
What a good 14 seconds. What I would do to go back to those 14 seconds.
Part of this is being driven by the fact that the Democrats can't do anything. They can't do anything right now to stop Amy Coney Barrett from becoming the next Supreme Court justice. They definitely tried. Earlier today, there was a motion from the Connecticut senator, Blumenthal, to adjourn until after the election. And it was defeated 12 to 10, party lines. And as they were giving their speeches during this time, where everyone knew it wasn't going and everyone knew it was going to be defeated, the senators, you know, did their thing. They did their campaigning. And, you know, some of them spoke passionately about why they're passionate. But Sheldon Whitehouse, the Democratic senator from Rhode Island, kind of seemed to be threatening court packing.
Don't think that when you have established the rule of because we can, that should the shoe be on the other foot, you will have any credibility.
Just real quickly, and then I'll let you finish. Y'all should have said that when you decided to change the rules to require just a majority to put judges on the bench. You guys did that. If the Democrats didn't change the rules, get rid of the judicial filibuster, they would require 60 votes. And then they would, in fact, have had the power to stop Amy Coney Barrett and any other judge, should they want to. They changed the rules. They did that. And as a result, the Republicans took advantage of it, which they should have. And by the way, at the time, Republicans said, don't do this. Do not do this. Do not change the system. Democrats did it anyway. Harry Reid, former majority leader from Nevada for the Democrats, did it anyway. And they paid a deep price as a result. And so now let's hear again what sounds like a pretty subtle promise on court packing, given the context in which the statement is being made.
To come to us and say, yeah, I know you can do that, but you shouldn't because of X, Y, or Z. Your credibility to make that argument at any time in the future will die.
It'll die.
In this room and on that Senate floor, if you continue to proceed in this way. I hope that that is not the case. But please don't think that they're two separate rules.
There aren't. They're the rules that you put in place, Senator Whitehouse. This next election is way more important than it was even just 3 weeks ago because of these kinds of threats. They will try to pack the Supreme Court. they will try to pack the Supreme Court. And that tells you where these Democrats stand on the justice system. Not all Democrats. Not all of them. We've heard from senators on the left and congresspeople on the left, like Joe Manchin, like, I believe, Dianne Feinstein earlier this week, push back against the idea of court packing because they know how untenable that would actually be. But we'll see. We do know today it wasn't about Amy Coney Barrett's answers. It was about the concerns of the witnesses that were called by the Democrats. And, of course, on the Republican side, they called witnesses who talked about how much they loved Amy Coney Barrett. And I thought it's instructive to hear what they're concerned with. For example, a lawyer, an activist by the name of Christine Clark, she was upset that with Amy Coney Barrett, we might actually get rid of racism. Although, to the left, they don't view this as racism. What are we talking about? We are talking about affirmative action on college campuses, where the left wants schools to be able to deduct points of students of certain races while giving extra points to students of specific races.
I am deeply concerned that a Justice Barrett on the Supreme Court would upend the precedents that have been firmly established in this area, and that would turn back decades of progress in our nation and result in colleges and universities that are not racially diverse, colleges and universities that lock the door on Black students and Latino students.
There are no students who are Black or Latino who are getting the doors locked on them by schools. That would be illegal discrimination. That's not what she's saying. She's framing it in a disingenuous way because she is talking about affirmative action.
Who are deserving of access, roll back the clock on equal opportunity. So I'm glad that you asked this question, Senator Coons, because it really underscores how high stakes this nomination is for our nation.
And then you have another activist who's upset that she might not be able to get an abortion, or other women would not be able to get an abortion after you put Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court has made historic decisions to uphold our rights and freedoms. My right to an abortion, the integration of my public schools.
Did she just compare abortion to desegregation?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
I get that not everyone shares the conservative perspective on abortion. I get it. I totally get it. I concede that I have no clue when life begins. I have no clue. Because I don't know when life begins, I decide to err on the side of life, starting at conception, because I don't know. And I think that that's an honest and fair perspective. Likewise, folks on the left hold a different view. They don't believe that. Okay, fair enough. Can we not compare abortion to racial desegregation? Because that just seems wrong.
You're telling me they aren't the same exact thing?
I'm telling you they're not even close.
Ah, okay.
I'm just throwing that out there.
The Affordable Health Care Act that ensures that I have health insurance and workplace protections for my transgender daughter. I have put my faith in the Supreme Court. And with this nomination, I am losing faith.
Wow, she's checking a whole bunch of boxes there. Her whole life. Abortion, transgender issues, free health insurance coverage. Oh my gosh. What doesn't she check off here? That's a lot.
It's called the game of life. You just got to check off.
Her?
You got to check off every box that you can. Whoever can get the most wins.
Where'd they find her? What did they do? The central casting?
Craigslist.
Was this a Craigslist ad?
Has to be.
Oh my gosh.
Although the way I have chosen to create my family is demonized by some politicians.
It's not demonized. People hold a different view than yours, which is their right to do.
Reality is that we're like most families across the nation.
Well,
I had an abortion.
Most families have not had an abortion. I mean, again, can we be just a little bit more honest about most families have not had an abortion.
I have two sons and a daughter who is trans.
Most families also don't have a transgender daughter or son or family member that's transgender for that matter. So again, pull back a little bit on the hyperbole and you can still probably make your point. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text message. When we come back, State Senator Steve O'Bann's going to stop by. We're going to talk about the ridiculous Supreme Court ruling here in Washington State on $30 car tap fees. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
Unfortunately, today, the state Supreme Court delivered a significant blow to the Washingtonians who overwhelmingly said they wanted $30 car tap fees. And so now the question is, after 976 is being overturned by the Supreme Court, what can be done legislatively? Well, let's talk to the state senator who has been leading the charge to do something to ensure that we get a $30 car tab fee, State Senator Steve O'Bann, Republican from University Place. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jason. Glad to be on.
You've been all over this because you actually understand what a lot of folks are dealing with, especially when they got that sticker shock on their car tabs, which were used the fee was determined based on an old formula that was very clearly meant to take more money from folks. So first, big picture, what is your response to what this decision means for this movement?
Well, I'm deeply disappointed. I think the issues the court raised are minor, and every piece of legislation initiative has some flaws in it. To me, they're splitting hairs. But the more importantly, where do we go from here? Obviously, extremely discouraged. I know I've heard from my constituents who are saying, doesn't my vote count? And the answer is, it absolutely does. And here's how it should be expressed now. We need to elect leaders. We've got an election just a few weeks away, who will declare that they will enact $30 car tabs legislatively. There's precedent for that, as you know. 20 years ago, the court did the same thing. They struck down a $30 car tabs initiative. And Gary Locke, Democrat Gary Locke, mm-hmm. called a special session and passed $30 car tabs legislatively. That's exactly what we need to do now to keep faith with voters and restore trust with them and do their will, which is give us substantial car tab tax relief.
Now, this is, of course, yet another reason why we should have a special legislative session, but it's also a reason why Inslee will definitely not call it, because he doesn't want to put any Democrats who are up for re-election in a position where they have to say no to the will of the people.
I think that's right, but the will of the people, they have a chance here. I mean, the fact that the court handed us down a couple of weeks before the election, they need to insist and demand that those that are running for office will promise in writing that they will vote for $30 car tabs. And I have the bill. I authored it and dropped it February of this year and was told, oh, it's premature. Let's wait to see what the court does. Well, the court has spoken. We need my bill to enact $30 car tabs.
This, of course, puts a renewed spotlight not just on the governor's race and, of course, the attorney general's race, but also your race. You're up against a very, very far to the left challenger who had a little bit of an edge on you during the primary. Why should this be that issue that finally gets people's attention, especially if they're sort of moderate or even moderate Democrats, independent, whatever it is, to vote with you?
Well, I found this issue, $30 car tabs, which, by the way, 66% of my district voted for, that it crosses party lines. There are Democrats, Republicans, Independents who are absolutely fed up and wanted car tab tax relief. And especially now with COVID and people being out of work, they, I think, deserve to have the tax relief that they voted for. Yes, my opponent has publicly said that she opposed $30 car tabs, 976, and she was endorsed by Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin and Dow Constantine. Both have done fundraisers for her. So she's, you know, pretty much following the kind of the reasoning and the priorities of Seattle. So it just makes for a clear choice, I think, in my district. But I think that's true of many other districts that are up for election. You should
Ron Muzzle, right? I mean, Ron Muzzle, Oak Harbor Republican. He narrowly was being defeated during the primary phase of things. He was a newly appointed senator, and so maybe the name recognition wasn't there yet. But he's another one of those folks you've got to make sure you're putting back in office.
Absolutely. You got it. So there is a real opportunity here. There's a real choice the voters have. And if there's one silver lining, it's that the Supreme Court issued this decision before November 3.
Yep.
We can, through the voting ballot box, get elected leaders who will do the people's will come January or a special session.
A big part of this is making sure we reelect State Senator Steve O'Bann. He is the state senator who represents University Place. The website is steveobann.com. Go there now to see how you can help him in this effort to keep another Seattle progressive outside of Olympia, because they are spreading. And you've got a progressive who's running a University Place. That is not a reflection of that district. Again, steveobann.com. Senator, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Glad to be on. Thank you.
Absolutely. Again, steveobann.com. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Media bias.
Who knew this next story was going to happen? Oh, literally every conservatives everywhere. C-SPAN announced not long ago that they have suspended Steve Scully, their political editor, indefinitely. Do you remember who Steve Scully is?
He's the C-SPAN guy.
What was he going to do later tonight, had it not been canceled?
He was going to moderate a debate.
Between who?
The two president candidates, Joe Biden and Donald Trump.
Super weird, because didn't he face allegations of being biased? Not just because he once interned for Joe Biden, but he decided to respond to a partisan tweet from anti-Trump hack Anthony Scaramucci. Oh, but what did he say happened? He didn't do that tweet.
No, he got hacked, Jason.
He was hacked.
Anytime a tweet goes out that you don't like that you see,
yeah,
you say that you got hacked.
What did every conservative, myself included, say when he said he was hacked?
You said he was not hacked.
What did I say?
You said that he's a big liar.
I did say that. Who was right?
Jason Rance was right.
And literally every conservative, because it didn't take a genius to figure this out. He has been indefinitely suspended after he admitted that he lied about the hack. He lied about it. And C-SPAN decided to take action for that lie. Now, in lying, he is now still claiming he's, though, still the actual victim here. He put out a statement. For several weeks, I was subjected to relentless criticism on social media and in conservative news outlets regarding my role as moderator for the second presidential debate, including attacks aimed directly at my family. This culminated on Thursday, October 8th, when I heard President Trump go on national television twice and falsely attack me by name. Out of frustration, I sent a brief tweet addressed to Anthony Scaramucci. The next morning, when I saw that this tweet had created a controversy, I falsely claimed that my Twitter account had been hacked. These were both errors in judgment for which I am totally responsible. I apologize. So it sounds like he's the victim. Like, he was only responding because people were attacking him for being partisan. And part of the way that he responded by being partisan was inappropriate. Got it. Okay. And now he's been suspended indefinitely. Got it. Hey, Joy Reid from MSNBC. When you claimed your blog was hacked with viciously homophobic stuff, or you called the FBI to investigate, and weirdly, years later, they've never actually published any results. Like, do you have a comment? You want to come clean yet, Joy? No? Okay. Just asking. she's Twitter's back and she's trending because everyone's remembering how she lied about being hacked. Joy right now is just saying, "Darn you, Steve Scully!" Womp womp. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into the big local.
Kent, Olympia, Everett, Sammamish.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rand Show.
Sumner, Woodinville, Des Moines.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle. Because frankly, the media here, they're hyper-focused on Seattle. So instead, we talk about the communities you live in and care about most. Although in this case, we're going to talk about a really tiny community. Cooley City, which is in Grant County. It's really small. They have found themselves, the good folks over at Cooley City, in a little bit of a controversy, although they had nothing to do with it. It's their former police chief. Her name is Brenda Cavaretto. About 8 years ago, she actually got injured in what most people would call a very traumatic experience. She goes into a structure to find a man hanged himself. And he, during the process of her trying to deal with this corpse, the corpse ends up falling on her. And the 285-pound guy, Brenda Cavaretto, reacted in a way that probably most people would be reacting, which is in pain. She hurt her back, she hurt her shoulder, she hurt her stomach. And on top of that, she said, and again, this part I think most people would understand, she said that she dealt with severe psychological trauma afterwards. She ended up leaving her job out in 2013, and she's been collecting L&I benefits since about around that time, directly related to the incident. She said she started to see a psychologist because she was having nightmares about what happened. And at some point, she said, "I couldn't even leave my home." So it almost sounds like she was agoraphobic. Now, she had been diagnosed with depression and PTSD. And again, I think that that is a reasonable story that we should believe. And L&I, Labor and Industries, they believed it. Until they started to question some of what was happening. Because that happened in 2013, right? Where she left her job. She wasn't able to work because of the trauma. She had been seeing a psychologist for a very long time. 5 years. And apparently, after undergoing 4 years, not five, of this therapy, she said she hasn't improved at all. Like, not even a little bit. Now, the way people work, the way the mind works, not consistent from person to person. We would understand that. But not even a little bit of improvement, like not even a smidgen of improvement, like a little tiny bit, nothing. Not even a little bit, no, she says. So they got concerned that maybe she wasn't being honest. Or maybe she wasn't even doing what the therapist was telling, the psychiatrist was telling her to do. So they started to investigate. And they made a startling discovery. Since 2015, she had been working as a pinup model. Something, frankly, I did not know existed anymore. But at least back in 2015, investigators alleged she was organizing fundraisers and appearing herself in dozens of publications, including calendars and magazine covers, under the name The Black Widow Betty and Tough as Nails with a Z, so I appreciate that.
You guys got a lot in common.
Como TV says Cavaretto is now facing two charges of making false statements to Labor and Industries that she couldn't work, and collecting $67,000 in benefits. She's expected to make her first court appearance on Monday. I imagine, unless she's able to prove that the photographs were taken in her home, that she said she couldn't leave, they're going to get that money back.
Yeah, she's probably in some hot water.
And the thing is, you could have probably made the case, and I don't know the inner workings of LNI in a situation like this, that you're still dealing with the trauma while also doing some side work because you realize you need to make a living and you're suffering through it. I don't know if that completely takes away your unemployment or your LNI benefit. Like, I don't know how that would work if you're partially working. Because how much money could she possibly be making as a pinup model? Who has a calendar?
I mean, calendars can be digital.
This is not digital. This is publications. And why would you have a digital calendar? You dumb dumb. What would that be for?
You have a digital calendar.
You mean on Outlook?
Yes.
There are not pinup photos attached to it. Every time I double click, it's not a hot fireman.
You probably could, like, throw something up there.
No, HR told me I can't do that anymore. And that's the other thing, like the whole idea of like a pinup model. There's like pornography for free on the internet, which they're naked.
Yeah, okay, who's paying for this?
But it's just like, who's getting a pinup calendar? And I kind of feel like we had this conversation about firemen, what, 2 weeks ago on something? Didn't we talk about this?
I think we did.
Why are people getting calendars anymore?
You know, they're good. Like,
I'm more annoyed by that than what she did. Keep the $67,000. I demand an answer as to who's buying pinup calendars with women in bikinis.
How do we know that she, you know, isn't like struggling and failing at this business? Like, maybe we are right and there's no business for a pinup calendar. And so she's just trying to go into a field that's already dead.
They said dozens of publications, including calendars and magazine covers.
Doesn't mean they're making money, Jason.
Well, you don't get a cut of the magazine. You get a flat fee for the magazine.
So these magazines are going under. They're all failing.
And who's buying a magazine with pinup photos?
Hey,
it's 2020, guys.
It's got to be like 80-year-olds who can't work on like an iPhone.
That's fair. Meanwhile, Pierce County's health officer announced that they're into this new level for coronavirus cases and they're sounding the alarms.
It looks like we're headed into a third surge or peak, whatever you want to call it, which is very concerning for us. And, you know, obviously we're very disappointed.
That's Dr. Anthony Chen. He's advising schools not to bring any more kids back to campus. We've been tracking this story over the course of about a week or so. And he says to our sister station, Cairo Radio, that they need to prepare to return to distance learning for more students.
When the disease transmission is high in the community, it gets everywhere. It gets into the businesses.
It's getting into the businesses. And of course, parents who are trying to figure out what they're going to do, they're getting pretty frustrated, understandably so.
What's going to happen next? You know, when is the rug going to be pulled out from under us? There's just no reason why they can't make something work for these kids.
That's Crystal. She's a mother of four. And she spoke to Q13 to say the guidelines that are coming from the state don't match what we're getting from the schools, nor does it really match what we're getting from these health officials.
So we're just going to invite more people going to restaurants and all of these things, but we're not going to allow our kids to go to school. It doesn't add up and it doesn't make sense.
Okay. Does anyone hear that and not agree with her? Because the fact of the matter is, a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. And so what say you, Dr. Chen?
People need to understand these are important things that affect all of us. And if we want schools to reopen for in-person learning, if we want businesses to reopen so that our economy can start to recover, we've got to control this virus. And each of us makes a difference. When we get lazy, when we get complacent, when we get frustrated and stop doing it, whatever the reason is, the virus doesn't stop. And then once it gets going and it gets into a group of people, it just magnifies.
Okay, let's have just a quick chat. Because it is true that we're seeing an increase in infections in certain places. Are these cases going to the hospital? Are we seeing hospitals in the state of Washington be overrun? And not even just in Washington. Look at California. Look at Tennessee. Look at Florida and New York. Are we seeing hospitals be overrun? Because that was one of the reasons why we did the lockdown early on. And we heard from the WHO just a couple days ago, taking the point that you should not be going into lockdowns or stay-at-home orders as a primary means of going after this virus. So if we're not seeing an increase in hospitalizations, hospitals aren't being overrun, the death rate is still low. Because have we seen an increase in deaths? I understand some people die. That's not what I'm saying. And that, of course, is tragic. And we need to do everything we can to mitigate that as an end result. But if all you're doing is giving us some extra cases, even if there's, quote unquote, a surge, you still have to understand what's the result of that surge. Same thing when you're going and looking at Wazoo or UW, you say there's more students getting it. Okay, I'd prefer they not get it. Are they okay after they get it? Are they dying? Are they landing in a hospital? Can you give us just a little bit more context? And part of the reason I think they don't give us that context is the answer is no. And if the answer is no, there's going to be a lot of people who will say, well, maybe we're overreacting by closing down schools. And I think that that is a fair response. You're listening to The Jason Rancho, 1-800-465-8770. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text. Welcome back to The Jason Rancho Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. Don't forget, you can give me a follow on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants, twitter.com/JasonRants. Later tonight, and let the record show before someone else breaks it, because I can't stand it when I've got a breaking story, but I'm on the air, so I can't do it online to just put my stamp on it. It is 4:49 and 50 seconds on October 15th. I can tell you that tomorrow morning, the Seattle Police Department is going to come out with some very terrifying staffing numbers showing how many officers are leaving the force. They have stepped down. That after all of the nonsense that they had to face, they're done. And the numbers are pretty dramatic. In August, 14 officers separated. September, 39. October, we're only in 15 days in. 8 have already left. And what's alarming, do you remember just a couple days ago, 3 days ago? Maybe it was Monday. I told you that I've been asking some questions about staffing and they won't give me numbers. And they told me they didn't have it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Michael Fields, who is he's not a cop, by the way. He is an administrator. He's their HR director or executive of human resources, whatever the title is. He was keeping his office the numbers from me that I was asking. He was keeping them, wouldn't turn them over. And then I got a statement telling me, oh, it's just they're just very busy. The staff members over at the Public Disclosure Request Agency that handles all of this, the internal group, I should say, they're just understaffed. But they'll get it to you. Yet tomorrow they're going to be doing a meeting publicly talking about the numbers that they said just a few days ago they didn't even have.
But they have them.
Yeah.
And they've had them this whole time.
Yep.
After you ask for them.
I don't like being lied to.
Jason, you have great hair.
I know. Like I said, I don't like being lied to. I like pure, unadulterated honesty like that.
That's exactly what that was.
Thank you. Why are you laughing?
I'm just saying.
What? You're holding that.
It looks great.
No, I know.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Why is there like a... Why are you holding back a laugh?
I'm not holding back anything. I know that you don't like being lied to.
You know, I can see you laughing.
Yes. this is... Are you lying now? Am I lying? No. Why would I lie?
Because the tone of your voice suggests that you're lying and you're holding back the lie as if the lie is that I don't have good hair.
Do you think I, of all people, would lie to somebody who I respect and admire so much? Please, Jason.
Okay. It's fair enough. I apologize for calling you out. So let the record show that I broke this story first.
Look, good job. Congratulations.
I'm annoyed because other people are going to break it tomorrow.
Or tonight.
Yeah, that person's going to be me. And by the way, the people who break it tomorrow, just remember who did it first. Because it could be some dope who's like, I got it first. No, you didn't. Shut up.
Someone's going to write the story and they're going to say it's my own exclusive and it won't be you. And then you're going to have a whole segment on it tomorrow calling it out.
There's some reporter right now who's listening to me do it and they're going to post it online and they're going to use me as the source and say they broke it.
They know that you can't write it right now, so they're going to go and get that done really quick.
Jerks. Just real quick, the Climate Pledge Arena. Oh, my God. Key Arena.
CPA.
Has been selected to host a bunch of NCAA basketball championship events, and the only good news in this is that they don't have to do it within the next year, because that probably would be canceled. They get the women's Division One basketball regionals back in 2023. Is that big?
Yeah, of course. It's March Madness.
Yeah, okay. And then Division One men's basketball first and second rounds in 2025. That I know is big.
Yes. Again, it's March Madness. And I mean, Spokane's hosted them in the last 5 years, and so is Portland, but we haven't had one in Seattle since like the 90s, I think.
Okay. That's good, I guess. I mean, well, you could wake me up when it's a finals instead of the first and second round.
You have to have... just saying. They play those in football stadiums these days, and CenturyLink won't be doing too good in March when they want to play a basketball game out there with no roof.
If you believe politics hurts sports, just wait until it's all about the climate change pack arena.
Climate Pledge Arena. But
same thing. Same literal virtue signal.
CPA.
CPA, NCAA, D1. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, you can get some sort of promo in there. And look, you only thought about it for like 10 seconds and you got some marketing ideas already.
There you go. I mean, I don't know if it's a good marketing idea. It's just me putting all the letters together. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation and send me a text. Much more when we come back right here on the Jason Ranch Show.